Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 2. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. As we come to our study in the book of Revelation, I would like to ask you to turn with me to the book of Revelation in chapter 2. And as you turn there, I must remind you a little bit of where we've been. This book has been seen as a mystery book. People think it's allegory. People think it's too hard to understand. And yet the Bible says it is a revelation. It's not the book of Revelations. It's the book of Revelation. It's the revealing of Jesus for who he is. It's the unveiling of the Christ in all of his power and all of his deity, all of his sovereignty. His deity and sovereignty being that which was stressed in the first chapter. For as John was on the Isle of Patmos, he heard a voice from behind him, and he turned to see what this voice was that spoke to him, and he saw the Lord Jesus. And he saw him in priestly robes, and he was girded in such a way as to show his priestly role being discharged, because he was in the midst of golden candlesticks. Now, these golden candlesticks are not like what we would say menorahs. These are individual golden candlesticks. There's seven individual candlesticks. And what we see is the Lord Jesus is in their midst, and he has stars in his hands, and he's in the midst of the candles, and he gives the interpretation in verse 20 of chapter 1 that the mystery of the seven stars which you saw and the seven candlesticks is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which you saw are seven churches. If we had just read the first few verses of the chapter, we wouldn't know the interpretation. But because we continue to read, we find out this is what this is. These are representative. And as we are to be the light of the world, the church is depicted as being seen in those candlesticks. And what I want you to realize is that this book will many times interpret itself. It will give an insight into what's being set before John, as he reports for us what he has seen. And I also want you to understand that it is a book that actually breaks up in an incredibly easy to understand way for those who would come to it and aspire to know what is set forth here. Early in chapter 1, it says there's a blessing attached to he that reads, to he that hears, and to he that keeps the words that are written herein. It is exciting to see that our God has everything under control. And that is what chapter 1 is telling us. Jesus is Almighty God, verse 8. And he's the one who stands in the midst of the candlesticks. And he's the one who has the stars, which are the messengers of the churches. And he's the one who has the churches. He's in control. And no matter what's going on in given states, whether it's Texas or whether it's Florida or whether it's Ohio, you might know that there was a tornado that touched down in Crestline this past week. We understand that there's no one who's out of reach of God. You and I live on grace ground, man. I mean, God has given us a perfect world. But you and I are watching God begin to turn over some money changers' tables. Why? Because we have become forgetful. But this book does lay out for us in a very clear fashion how we are to approach it in chapter 1 and verse 19. The Bible says, Jesus speaking to John, he says, John, write the things which you have seen. Hast seen, which you've seen. In other words, write what you saw, me in the midst of the candlesticks, me in all my glory, me with hair like wool, eyes like fire, burnished feet, girt in a garment of the priest, and in the midst of candlesticks. Write that down. That's what you've seen. And then he says, and the things which are. The things which are what are before us in chapters 2 and 3. So write the things which you've seen, the glorified Christ. And write the things which are, the church of Christ. And then he says, and write the things which shall be hereafter. And this is what's beautiful about this book, is that it tells us what we're looking for. We're looking at what he just saw, we're looking at where we are, and we're looking at where we're going. And in chapter 4, all the way to the end of the book, pretty much, you hardly hear the church mentioned because the church is what is, the things which are, okay? And when we get to chapter 20, we see the church comes down, but it's very brief in the mention of church. The word church appears 19 times, but it's not mentioned at all from chapter 4 to chapter 20. You and I are blessed because we have a roadmap. We have a roadmap. It's neat to have a roadmap. No architect would set out to build anything without some sort of blueprints to work from. You wouldn't set out to get out of Dodge down in Florida if you didn't have a way to figure out how can I get through, where, what road do I need to take, because you might be going looping around. My wife and I once were getting ready to go back to Virginia when we lived down there after we were first married, and I said, well, I just think I'm going to go straight this way, and I know where 71 is, and I started going. I found 71, went right under it. With no way to get on it. And I'm all, you know, muscly man, young man, I've got this, I've got that. We were lost. And I'm out in the middle of nowhere. It's nice to have a map, isn't it? It really is. And God gives us one. He says, tell about the things you've seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. And when we get to chapter 4, we'll begin to see the things which are hereafter. But right now, we want to focus our attention on chapter 2. Chapter 2 is made up of 7 epistles. An epistle is like the books of Colossians and Galatians and Philippians. These are letters. Letters sent to individual churches. But this is a compilation of 7 letters. It's written to 7 churches. And these 7 churches are sovereignly arranged on the landscape of geography of the day to really become touchstones from which we can see what will happen in the church age. Some of these churches are not in existence anymore because they did not heed the warnings that were set forth in them. It's interesting because the Bible says the Bible is to be looked at as a mirror. Remember that? The Bible says a man who hears the word of God and does not do it is like a man who beheld himself in a mirror and went away and straightway forgetting what manner of man he was. He saw it in the mirror, but then he did not do anything about it. I find it interesting because a young couple took their baby into a pediatrician. And this pediatrician is looking at his baby and he says, you know, this baby is just beautiful. You've got such a beautiful baby. And the dad said, well, you should probably say that to all the kids. He says, no, I only say that to the truly beautiful ones. He said, well, what do you say to the ones that aren't beautiful? He said, well, I just say, boy, he looks just like you. Now, we're going to see ourselves in this catalog of epistles. But the question will be, are we going to go away like a man who looks at himself and forgets what manner of man he is? We need to look in these letters and find ourselves. And some of these letters you're going to say, that looks just like me. Let me set the stage a little further. These particular epistles represent for us that which is not only involving 7 churches in real time. Okay? There were 7 literal churches in real time. And John is instructed to write to these real physical churches. But they are also emblematic of churches in all time. What I'm saying is every generation has had churches that would be like Smyrna, a persecuted church, and some that were fired up and on the upswing and in the fires of revival, like Philadelphia. I mean, you look in Korea, there's evidently a lot going on in Korea that has to do with people getting saved and churches are being birthed. There's people who are awakening in different parts of the world. So you might have some that are being persecuted, like those who might be in Arab nations that are Christian, having themselves beheaded for their faith, like the Smyrnaean church. And then you might have those who are in the Philadelphia fires of revival. You might have those churches that are like Ephesus, that have lost their first love, but they're still maintaining, you know, a standard. And I'm just telling you that there was real churches, but they're also emblematic of churches in all time. But the thing that is significant for us, this being a book of prophecy, is that this is the catalog of a church across time. And it is in an order in the landscape of the ancient day. It's like a crescent order. So if you went on a circuit in that day to various shipping cities and trade routes, you would go from Ephesus to Smyrna and down through all the way to Laodicea. The circuit was sovereignly there. And this is powerful because this gives us a catalog of what's going to happen in the church age. This book is not about The church, in its greater portion, it's about Israel and God's reclaiming of Israel and His putting down of evil and bringing in a 1,000-year reign called the Millennial Kingdom. That's what the bulk of the book is about. But this, before us in these two chapters, represent the things which are. Now, this is a lot to take in. But when you see it in verse 19 of chapter 1, He's put us an outline there. The things which you've seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. We're looking at the things which are. So let's dive in. Verse 1 says, and we're only going to take chapter 2 today because we can't do all 7. We'd be here quite a long time if we tried that. So we're going to break it into 2 messages. But it says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them that say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. A real church in real time, a real church in every time, and a real church across time. That's what we're looking at here. This is the first church mentioned because it represents for us the apostolic age of the church. In other words, apostles are still there. The name of this city, Ephesus, is a word that means desired. This is what God would desire. A church fired up for truth, that lifts up the gospel, that hates that which is evil and loves that which is good. However, there is something that is lacking, and it has to do with their hearts. They have their heads in the right place, but their hearts are not engaged. He says, you've left your first love. Now, as we look at it, this is the church of the first love. It represents in the continuum of church history the period about 33 A.D. to about 100 A.D. Because this is at the end of the first century. John is about 90. We're coming to the close of the first century. He gets this opportunity to write at the close of that first century. Now, with that said, understand something else about this church. It's a desired church. It's the church of first love, but it's also the apostolic church. You see, Ephesus is very interesting. It was one of the more prominent cities of the New Testament era. This particular city had an arena in it that would seat like 50,000 people. And it had open air, and they would bring in games. They would have beasts fighting beasts and men fighting beasts. And as time went on, no doubt they probably did some of those killing of Christians at one point or another. But this was one of those cities that is huge in the landscape. But it's also huge spiritually, because this city is a city where the Apostle Paul himself ministered for a term of 3 years. After he ministered there, Timothy ministered there for quite a long time. And even the Apostle John was a pastor to this church for a long season, and is said to have been released somehow from Patmos and gone back to Ephesus and served a while and died at this city. So the apostolic church, it all makes sense. This is the desirable church, and he's writing to this church in red letters in your red letter Bible, because this is Jesus speaking, and the Bible says he's speaking unto the angel of the church. The word angel is angelos. It literally means messenger.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.